Howdy, everyone. You're listening to the Blue Jeans and Boots podcast, where genetics grad students talk about how to navigate a PhD program while trying to stay sane. We also invite faculty from our interdisciplinary program here at Texas A&M onto the show to pick their brains about their research, what it's like being a principal investigator, and their journey to becoming a professor here at A&M. In this episode, we talk to Kushbu and Aravind about what it's like to be an international grad student in the TAMU Gene program. I'm your host, Anthony Matarazzo.
And I'll be your co-host, Lily Sanchez.
Welcome, guys. So could you guys tell us a little bit about your backgrounds, like where you did your undergrad and master's degrees?
Hi, everyone. This is Kushbu here. So I'm born in Bharat, raised up in India. As far as my education is concerned, I did my undergraduate in Tamil Nadu Agricultural University in the southern part of India, or we can say the state where Aravind is from. And for my master's, I went abroad. I did master's in Seoul National University, South Korea.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Aravind. I'm also born and brought up in India, and I'm from Chennai, which is a beautiful city in the southernmost part of India. So for my undergrad, I went to a small engineering college there. It's called Rajalakshmi Engineering College. And then for my master's, I got my master's from here at A&M, the biotechnology program.
Nice. Can you both tell us a little bit about the research that you do now? Like, whose lab are you in? Which department you are in?
So currently, I'm in the Soil and Crop Sciences department with the IDP program, and I'm one of the students who works on plants. Rest all of my cohorts and other students, they work on animals and bacteria. So my PI's name is Dr. Indang Septinengse. My research is kind of cool and applicable. So like one of my project is biofortification of rice. So I'm not sure if any of you know, rice is mainly a carbohydrate source. So that means it has 99% of carbohydrate content and it's very few of the protein content. So my work is to increase one of the amino acid in the rice grain so that it becomes a more balanced diet, because people from developing nations, they suffer from malnutrition because they cannot get a balanced diet. Even in the developed countries, people suffer from chronic diseases. So having a balanced diet in the form of rice would be a very good supplement to overcome the diseases and malnutrition issue. So that is one of my project. The other two or three projects which I have is working on the abiotic stresses in rice, as in like I'm trying to explore the genetic diversity in the rice. We have a huge rice panel. We have huge diversity in rice, which is unexplored. So I'm trying to find the genes which are tolerant to cold, salinity, and submergence. I'm not sure if you were there in 2017 here. We had Harvey. So the entire rice field in the Beaumonts, like the agricultural field areas, what we have in the Texas, they were flooded. So I could say the flood was, the rice plants were submerged until I could say my waistline. So if we have this huge flooding conditions, we lose the entire rice yield. So if there is a submergence condition, or if there is the water is highly salty, or if suddenly the cold temperature comes, how to prevent the rice from dying? How to still have the proper yield? So this is what I'm trying to explore and finding the relevant genes. So this is a brief of my projects.
That's great.
It's a lot of projects, yeah.
Yeah, no, so I'm in the molecular pathology and immunology department here at the College of Medicine, and my PI is Helena Andrews Palamanis. So if I have to put my project in a nutshell, in simple terms, we're trying to study why some people stay asymptomatic and then while others get super sick to a same bacteria infection. We're mainly focused on what gene influences the differential outcome of being sick and not being sick. And we do this mainly through mice panel called collaborative cross mice. That's the host. And then for the pathogen, we have methicillin-resistant Staph aureus is what we use to study this interaction.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So you guys both kind of have public health-centered projects. Do you think coming into grad school, that was something that you wanted to pursue?
I kind of wanted to stick to something related to diseases. Like, that was my main goal. I wasn't really specific on what I wanted to do, but something close to cancer, infection, or some genetic disorders is what I wanted to stick on, because I just like to see the immediate application of whatever I'm doing. I thought that'll kind of drive me in the research field.
For me, it was an entirely opposite case. So my undergrad was bioinformatics field. It was more computational. So my undergrad and master's was computational. So always whenever we used to work with the data, we never understand how the data is given to us. What is the logic of collecting the data and what the researchers think? So for me, trying to understand that perspective was the key thing. So this is why I was fascinated to the grad school. Like, I have worked on this part, but I never understood the other logic or the reasoning behind it. Why things are done and why we think this way and we get the data. So having an overall gist from scratch till the analysis is what I wanted to have in a summary. So this is one of the reasons I ended up in this program also.
Yeah, because you both have your master's. So why did you decide to apply to the PhD program here?
For me, kind of a backstory to this. When I was doing my undergrad in India, I had to do like a final year project. I did that in like a research hospital back in Chennai. I mean, I loved everything about it, all the people, the center and everything, but none of my experiments worked. I would go every day, do Western blots, get nothing. So at that point, I decided, I'm not going to do research for my life. This is just like, this is not my area. I'm not getting anything done here. So when I applied for master's, it was like a non-thesis program, the biotechnology program here. So I came here, and then I was just randomly applying for jobs, like for student worker jobs. And then I ended up in a research lab in the chemical engineering department with Dr. Lele Pushkar. So kind of started as a student worker, helping them out with some things, and then slowly kind of got back to research, helping them like knock out genes and run some experiments. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I was like, okay, I think the luck is back. I can do research now.
But I like this again.
Yeah, at the same point, I also hated all the classes I took at Mace. Like, I just wasn't like really into the business part of it. But at the same time, I like during one of the classes, I met Dr. Vargas, like who was our previous grad advisor. Mm-hmm. So at a marketing class, and we kind of talked about all these things, and she was like, hey, like, this is the program if you want to apply. Like, so that's how I ended up applying to the genetics program.
For me, I don't know. Somehow I ended up in an agricultural university for my BTEC program. And since it was a rice university or agricultural university, you could say the entire research which was being done in that university is related to rice. So you would hear from your seniors what fascinating research they are doing. They found out this thing. They are working on something which is super cool. So that is how something I got fascinated into this field. So right from my undergrad, I guess, I was from my second year onwards, I was into the research. So that's how I just went in the research. And when it come to coming to A&M, I like the US way of education and how the culture is. I came for a short period during my research project in 2015 in Cornell University from Korea. So I liked working here. I could say I was lucky in the way that my family moved here in 2017, which gave me a chance to apply. And looking for A&M, I like the program because I have always worked on plants. I never had any experience with any other model organisms or any other research what anybody else does. So this program was like super interesting. I could hear about so many different model organisms, how the research are different, how things like in plants, usually the research comes from animal, and once it is applicable and tested in human studies, it's then tested on plants because we do not have proper resources, or I would say the proper genome. So anything which is applicable and tested in humans or animals then comes to the plant for testing, mm-hmm. even for the CRISPR editing or any technology, you could say. So this is how I ended up here, because I liked it. I could explore different fields, learn from you all. Though I won't understand a lot of it, but still, I feel this is fascinating.
It's okay. Don't ask me about plants. It's okay.
See, one of the reasons is if your family is here, you have to stay close to your family. So, and plus,
I don't have a big good, bitch,
so,
like,
yeah. I had double benefit
for the program. For my master's, it was the cheapest school, so I came here. And for my PhD, Dr. Vargas said, oh, this is a program, apply. At that point, I didn't even look through it fully, but I do really enjoy, like, being in this program, so.
I could say that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And to be fair, that is how a lot of, I think, common decisions are made when deciding on where to go to school, is where's the money at?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where can I afford to go?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Yeah. Living expense was a big part, like when I was looking at A&M for my, just to come here from India to like straight to a US city, like College Station would be a great place, because it's like rent, living expense, everything was so low compared mm-hmm. to like any city I looked up north or west or east coast.
So I know, myself included, a lot of people that end up moving to College Station to attend A&M experience some sort of culture shock on one level or another when they move and are exposed to Texas as a whole. Did you guys have anything in particular that kind of shocked you to experience here in Texas?
For me, I have moved to a lot of countries, so as such, I did not feel a lot of cultural shock. Probably it's just because I left India in 2012, so it's been already like around 10 years. So now I don't feel a culture. It could be very different. Like, if I remember from 2012 when I went to Korea, yes, there could have been a lot of cultural shock. But that's way odd, like, for me to remember it freshly. Yeah, it is very different. Like, back home, things are very different versus if you move to any abroad country, whichever country you move, there are a lot of things you see, they are very different. But coming to Texas, I felt it was kind of good. I liked it here.
It's probably a lot slower than Seoul. Like,
US as such, I would say, is not fast. India is also not so fast. Korea is like super, super, super fast. It's like people are running.
Yeah.
Oh, unlike Kushbu, I didn't have the opportunity to go anywhere else before coming adapt. Here. So it was a big shock to me when I came here. I think, like, culture shock wise, I have lots of things to say on this, but if I have to pick one, which I always tell my friends, is that, like, first time when I came here and I was, like, on campus, I was just thrown away by how tall people were. Like, really.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm 5'10 in India. I mean, not super tall, but tall. To come here and see, like, everybody being tall was, like, especially the girls, I was like, man, everybody is tall. So that was like a real big giant shock. And then I'll be honest here, first 6 months being at A&M, I thought I was in a cult. All the traditions, everybody doing things together, I was like, oh no, this is like crazy. But now I embrace all the, like, once you know the meaning behind it and what, how it brings people together, now I kind of embrace all the traditions. But first 6 months, I was like, okay, this is something like a cult. Like, everybody does everything together.
Is that so, not something that you experienced during undergrad? Did your institutions not really have a whole lot of school spirit?
No. I mean, I went to a small college too. Maybe in big universities it might have been. In my school, there wasn't nothing big. Like, no. You go study, get your things done, go home.
And I guess you have this experience of people doing everything together, because I guess you did your master's and I joined as a PhD program. So we join and we are all scattered in our lab. So we do not get to experience that uniform thing. So I still do not have this experience in A&M. So
did you go to a big school spirit school, Anthony?
Yeah, I went to the University of Florida.
How about you, Lily?
No, we don't even have a football team. Not that I know of. I mean, not a very big school either. So, culture shock.
But to be fair, I did think similarly to Arvind, where when I came here, I was like, these people are going overboard.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it as outside of the sports arena, outside of the academics of it, it's more or less a tool to network.
Yeah.
I constantly hear stories about people showing their ring off, or having someone spot their ring when they're out of state, out of country. So that's how I'm starting to look at it, as if where after I leave here, that kind of opens doors to me that it would be close to other people.
I guess that was one thing which fascinated me about A&M, which I learned about it after I joined the school, because once you join, you'll get to learn more about the school. It's the Aggie traditions. I don't think so. I have been to any school where they have a saying, once you are an Aggie, you are always an Aggie. Or if you are alma mater of any school, you will always be a student of that school. And literally, even if you are wearing Aggie ring, I've heard stories. I have not experienced it. So if you are wearing Aggie ring, people like loudly, they would say howdy to you wherever, whichever state they are. So I think this is kind of good or impressive for me. I don't think so any other school does that, so.
Do you greet people with howdy?
Sometimes.
I do all the time. I had to practice it. Yeah. I really like went to a mirror and started practicing it, because it's so odd coming out of your mouth. Like, you're so used to saying hello, hi, and then now you have to switch to howdy, so.
I don't know. We've kind of started to cover this, but like, what are some differences, and are there any more differences or similarities, like between College Station and like, or from when you first moved to the U.S.? Any other kind of differences and similarities that you guys wanted to bring up?
Similarities? I don't think so. Personally, we have similarities. It could be different for other internationals, but at least coming from India, we don't have similarities. Major cultural shock, I would say, or difference, I would say, is like, which is still very hard for me to learn and adapt to, is I can't call my PIs with their name.
Their first name? I can't either.
So back home, they are always called as sir or ma'am. This is how we have been raised up. Anyone who is elder is also given a respect. So forget it. Your professors are way elder. I cannot call them by their first name, even if they ask me.
Yeah, I can't either. I understand. I don't know.
Yeah, I try to think about similarities. I think, I know this is a little odd, but I thought the weather on the other side of extreme, like being hot, kind of went well with my city. Like, so I feel home in summer. Like, August is when I'm like, ah, this is great. It's nice and hot and humid. So I'm from a coastal city too, so I'm like so used to this. So, but, like, my place doesn't get this cold, but this is not like terrible cold. Like, if you travel up north, you know, like how cold it can get. So I thought that transition was also like okay for me, like with the weather. So, and then, like, just like Kushbu was saying, like, it was really hot for me to transition from sir, madam to like the names, like some prefer first name, some prefer last name. So that was a really hard transition for me too, but I got used to it. Like, I just use whatever they say to reply. Like, if they introduce first name, last name. So our full name, I just go by last name. So Yeah.
I'll pick you on the weather. I'm not a person to love hot weather. Because my hometown in India, I'm from like the northern part. So we have all the four seasons. So here, though I get like super hot summers, also we get like 100, 110 Fahrenheit. But I don't like summers. My husband, on contrast, he's from a hot place in India. So he loves the weather here. For him, it's a home like our weather.
Yeah,
it's hard
for me. I'm from Florida and I still hate it.
Oh, you guys also had to transition like from Celsius to Fahrenheit or something like that.
Oh my god,
whatever we use here.
Oh my god,
trust me, I don't know why we all don't use the same system.
Seriously,
not just that, Celsius, Fahrenheit, pounds, it's pounds, kgs,
lbs,
miles, pounds, kilometers, everything. Yeah,
everything is different.
And the driving, left-hand to right-hand driving.
Oh, yes. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yes. Now that I remember, yes, that is also... In India, we have a different side driving than the US. So we follow the British's thing, not the US one. So
you had to switch over.
Yeah, first, like, when you enter, you look at right. Now,
yeah,
you look at left to see what car's coming. So it is a hard transition, but...
In India, it's a free left, not free right. Here, it's a free right.
How long did that take you to figure out? Or
it takes time. I would walk on the opposite lane. Trust me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, good that I didn't come here and drive straight. I didn't have a car. So.
No, I was walking, but still it's hard to know why everybody's walking in the opposite lane and why I'm walking in this side. Okay, then I have to learn. Okay, now I have to walk on this side, not on this side. It takes a time, but you get used to of it. Now I am okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So what do you guys think are the best parts about being an international grad student here at TAMU?
Arvind, do you want to go first?
Okay, I mean, Kushbu is going to differ on this, but for me, I think just the freedom of being away from your family. Hope my mom doesn't listen to this, but
you're gonna send this to your mom.
I know, because I went to undergrad from home. Like, my mom packed off all my lunch and everything. So,
oh wow,
for me, like,
coming here to grad school was like a lot of freedom. It was like I could go like out anywhere and not worry about telling my parents when I'm gonna come home. So, I think especially from like most of the South Asian countries, it's kind of common to,
yeah,
like be at home for college. So even after like you get married. So for me, it was like, oh, freedom.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's I think the best part if you're an international student here. And then I personally also feel like it's a little less responsible. Like I don't have to worry about going back home to anything. I think this is where Kushbu is going to differ because she has a family here. So like I'm a little more free on that too. Like unless if you're a local student here, like you got to go home for Thanksgiving, Christmas, for everything and meet family here or there. Like me, oh, it's a every year and a half, like once in every year and a half trip. So you don't have to worry about family till that. So
for me, yes, I have a different opinion. I was independent. Like my mom raised me to be an independent girl. So I left my home right after my middle school, I guess. I was away from home, say from 2005. I was not home. So,
since I did my undergrad.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, I was away from home. Though, like, my high school was not far away from home. It was just 2 hours drive. But still, I was away. So, my undergrad it was like a boarding school? It's like I was preparing for the med school. So, I was in the coaching school. So, I would stay in the hostels away from home. Because my... hometown is a small town, so if you have to prepare for the entrance exam, I do not know how the entrance exams are here for the med school, but back home you have to, after your high school, you have to do your entrance exam for your med schools. So, or even for the engineering colleges, you have to give the entrance exam to qualify in the good universities. So, I was doing my medical preparation, so I was in hostel, Then I traveled like 2 days, almost 2 day travel to do my undergrad in southern India. I do not know how I ended up there. I absolutely still I cannot figure out why I ended up there, but it's like my fate and destiny, whatsoever I would call it. But I got freedom from my undergrad, actually. Like, I was far away. I would visit my home once in a year because we won't have that many holidays. And then I was abroad, so freedom was never an issue for me. But the only thing I liked best as being an international student wherever I went was to, I would say, to learn about other international students. That is something you learn, like it's a lifetime experience, I would say, to every country I have been. You get to learn a lot about different people, how they think, how they perceive knowledge, how they feel different, and how should I treat them. This is something I wouldn't have experienced while staying in my own country, I would say. So this is the best part for me.
I definitely have to agree on the last part, what Kushbu said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like just being here, like seeing all the other international students, just like you're learning the American culture, but you also get to learn all about other different cultures, enjoy their food and their thought points behind like their opinions and stuff. I think that's a really cool part of being in like a university as big as A&M.
What might be some of like the biggest challenges being an international student?
For me, it was transportation initially, coming from a place where public transportation, we didn't have private that much, but it was so well connected. You could just get from point A to point B, like train, buses, or even like, we call them like shared autos. Like you can just hop in and hop off wherever you want, pay the amount you want. So that was like coming here and not having like...
You need a car here.
I mean, during university times there are, but... during like weekends and during holidays, there's nothing here. So that was a big challenge for me moving here. So, and I think a lot of my friends struggle with food, like finding good food options, especially if you're a vegetarian, it's hard. Like I was not. So yeah, that transition can be really hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me, I would say US is still better getting a vegetarian food. Go to South Korea where chicken and really? Seafood is considered as veg. Beef and pork is non-veg. So any food you get will either have seafood or chicken in it because that's a vegetarian food.
Really?
I cannot wrap my head around that part still. So at least I am way happy. At least I have one menu in the entire restaurant which I can eat. Though I won't like it, but still I can eat that.
Yeah.
Good. Happy to have at least one menu which is a vegetarian for me. But coming to challenges part, I guess when you move to any country, there are a lot of things I would say I had to go through, like figuring out transportation, I will agree 100%, finding to getting and proper accommodation because you just come from India. Like even I came from India to US itself that time. Finding accommodation because your apartments are not ready when you are here. So that is the biggest challenge. Then getting your SSN, getting to know how to get your insurance, starting with the classes. It's a big transition, a huge amount of challenge, I would say. The part of challenge, I would say, never stops being an international. Mm-hmm. It's a continuous process. And still, like even until you graduate, or even after you graduate, there are a lot of challenges we go through. So I cannot pick which one is more advanced than the other because every phase, the challenge is unique in itself. And every international student goes through a different challenges. So
touching on all those challenges, do you have any advice for other international grad students or students who may want to study abroad?
But if you... kind of, I agree with Kushbu on, like, I mean, it's a challenge, right, from, like, getting your visa, applying, like, shortlisting, doing all your test scores, to coming here, like, figuring out housing and transportation. But I, like, now that I've been here, like, I kind of look back and look at the positives out of it, of, like, that, like, I feel like I came in as an introvert, and then now I'm not an extrovert, but I'm not an introvert either. So I think all those challenges make you get out of your comfort zone, talk to people, make friends, like be always on the lookout for things. And I think that has shaped me into a better person than I was before on the social side.
And I think that's a good piece of advice to give to any grad student or anyone trying to pursue a graduate degree. I've certainly heard it a bunch, just to make sure that you get out of your comfort zone, because otherwise you can't expose yourself to what you don't know.
I agree with you, Anthony and Arvind. It's like, you would see a lot of hardships. It's just that you have to be patient at that time. Though sometimes being patient at that time is very hard, I agree. But still, once that challenge is over, you would always find it comforting. Okay, I learned something different. I learned something new. So any country, any grad program, just be patient and just go on. You will learn it. You will gain something very important.
So being an international student, do you feel that, let me say that again. Do you feel that being an international student has changed a lot about what you've experienced in grad school? Or is it overall pretty comparable to being a domestic student?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much comparable. Like, within the program, I don't feel any big differences. It's like the same pay, like, you get treated as the same, like, nobody ever differentiates. There are some differences when it comes to grants. Like, you can't apply to certain fellowships and grants because it's funded by the government. So, I kind of agree to that. So, other than that, I feel like I've never been treated different just because I'm an international student. So, I think for the most part within the program, I've never really felt anything like being odd just because I'm an international student. I mean, I wish I could apply to all those grants, but yeah, that's the only thing. So, but like, stipend covers everything. So in that way, it's not a big problem.
Yeah, I'll agree with Arvin. Like, as for the department or the grad experiences there, it's comparable. We do not have any differences other than the grants. But I could say, like, once we graduate, we need to find the job as soon as possible, because there's a timeline or the number of days. Like, we have 60 days window, right, Arvind?
Yes.
To find the employment. And there is a particular number of days we can stay unemployed in the whole, after graduation, 3 years duration. And the job, whatever we are doing, has to be approved by the US government. So apart from other things, we have a lot more other things to worry about. So we give preference to those things because those are vital to stay in the visa status. So I guess every international student goes through that hardship.
Do you think most international students come to study in the US with the intent to stay afterwards?
So if you are in a STEM program, you get 3 years of work authorization. If you are in non-STEM, you get only 1 year of work authorization.
Oh, wow.
So if you are in that 3 years of work authorization period, like what we are on an F1 visa, that is the student visa. So that visa let us to work for 3 years, so that if you have some loans that you can cover up, or if you want to get additional training up related to your degree. So anything what you do in this 3 years has to be relevant, 100% applicable to the degree which you have got. Like, if, say, my degree is PhD, I cannot work anything which is like a technical job or a technician job. I cannot join that post-PhD. So I can be a postdoc or a research associate, but I cannot work as a technician. So I have to use the knowledge or information which I have learned as my PhD degree to be directly applicable in further advancement of my knowledge, not something to just clinical work, which a non-expert in the degree can also do. Does it make sense?
Yeah, talking about the intent, Anthony, like, F1 is a non-immigrant visa, so there is no intent to immigrate here.
Yeah.
So,
it's like
the 3 years extra you get is where you get more training, and like if somebody is willing to sponsor you in that period, then you can stay here with a different visa, but not with a student visa. So yeah.
So all of this will probably impact where you apply after your PhD, right?
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's on the flip side, like getting a PhD makes it easier to get a postdoc position and cover for it compared to getting coming here for a master's, which might get a little tricky because you have to find a job in like the niche field which you're studying within 60 days after graduation. So
is it as long as it's in genetics?
Yeah.
Or if you can make it up in a way that it's genetics. So,
yes, exactly.
It's not like super strict, but I cannot go work in McDonald's as well.
So could you tell us a little bit about what your plans are for after you get your PhDs? You're both relatively close to finishing, I believe.
No, kidding.
Thanks for saying that loud.
Thank you, Anthony, for the boost up. I really appreciate your motivation.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm in the same cohort. So does that mean I'm going to graduate soon?
Yes, Lily. We should all graduate together.
We're going to graduate together. Yes.
Let's say next year.
Okay.
Hopefully. Yeah. So, I mean, I've always switched between coming into the program, switched between industry and academics, like what do I want to do after this? But now I'm going to say like I sway more towards being in academics. I think a lot of that is created in the fact that like I've interacted with a lot of professors, I think, through the program and seminars and stuff that has really helped me look at the nicer side of academics, because I always thought it's like a lot of pressure and you're always like stressed out and stuff. So it's not that much stressful. So now I'm trying to stay, like do a postdoc and like give a shot at becoming a professor is what I'm thinking right now. So this is a shameless plug-in as well. I'm looking for postdoc opportunities once I graduate.
So, in academia?
If you're listening to this and you're a professor, please hire me.
I would say if you're looking for a postdoc, probably in an year or year and a half, please watch out for me because I'll be looking for the jobs. So as of now, I think I will still want to stay in academia. It's still something a lot more to learn, and there are so many interesting things. So a postdoc option.
Yeah, do you think you'll pursue projects similar to what you're working on now?
No, I would try back to going to computational side, which is like... I feel I need to have a work and home balance, I would say. Like, I have a family. I'm in the molecular field. It takes a huge amount of my time, like day and night, sometimes over the weekend. So eventually I need to split the timings and manage my timing more efficiently, which I'm not doing currently. So based on that, I think I would like have a computational work, which would give me a comfort to even work from home sometimes if I want to do that.
Yeah, I would kind of want to stick to the genetic side of it, like the variations and diseases and stuff. And then like the project I'm doing now is like a big data project, lots of Excel sheets, a lot of analysis. I kind of like that. Once you put it all together, what comes out of it. So, yep.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. Coming from, because this is true for me as well, coming from a different culture and trying to find other people who have like a similar culture or like just like a community, have you guys been able to do that here in College Station? And how have you guys been able to do that? Because I know like for me, like I'll go to Brian for like the good taquerias and stuff. I don't know if that's something like similar for you guys or something like that. Like Adam, you do like Time for Chai, like how it's something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that like being a big university, like last I heard was there's like 6,000 international students here, and like I mean like Indian students alone, I think there's like 1,500 of them. So I think there's a good community. I never felt like at least in the apartment complexes we live in, like there is a big community. So, and we do a lot of social events, like Time for Chai. Like Time for Chai is basically a gathering where we drink chai. So, and a lot more things. So, and then we do a lot of fun things. But basically, like, I've never felt alienated. Like, I've always had, like, okay, I can go out and learn the other cultures, but if I have to go back and be with my friends, cook together and eat, you get almost all the food here. It's not like 30, 40 years back, like, you couldn't find this, that. Now, I've seen a lot more spices here, which I've not seen in my home state because it's from a different state in India. So, I think in that way, I've never felt, like, really, like, foreign. Yeah. I've had a good community, which I'm really thankful for, because that helps me balance the social side of my PhD and then get my work done in the lab as well. So,
Arvind won't agree with this part. Like, I have a different experience. Yeah. So it's like a majority of the Indian students who come, they are single or bachelors. I'm sorry, Arvind. So a majority of them, like, they stay together. So yes, there's like, if you go out, you can find a huge amount of bachelors or Indian students. But when it comes to, if you are with your family, you try to stay in the residential areas, which is like not the North Gate side or that side where I know a lot of Indian students are there. This side, we hardly have one or two family friends who are married or... So we have very few communities. Like, we do get together on some festival times or no. It all depends. Like, everyone is working. Both husband and wife would be working. So it really depends to find time and have a get-together or have even a potluck. So we just learn to stay away. Or probably I have learned to manage myself alone. It's been years I have been away from home. No.
So moral of the story, come here as a single student.
I know, come here single.
No, seriously. Like, it's like you get to learn a lot more and experience a lot more different cultures if you are single. I'm sorry. But you get, because you do not have that family responsibility, I feel like. You do not have any foundation that you have to get back home. And you need to spend time with your family. Actually, you have this thing on high priority. So whatever time you have, either you would just sleep or do nothing or spend time with your family.
So, have you guys had any culture clashes in lab? Maybe with your PI or any superiors?
I have not. I think mainly because, like, my other lab mate, she's from Portugal. And then I had another lab mate who was from Russia. So our lab was a little diverse. And my PI has had, like, many other, like, students before and after. So I've never had the problem or any clashes. Like, I've learned a lot of things over time. It was like, oh, you do certain things and not. But everybody has been kind to tell me that. I think I really appreciated that. Like, they didn't really take offense the first time and be like, hey, let's not use that. I was like, okay, I got it. So I think being flexible on changing those things and some of the opinions you have, that's really helped me. Yeah, to not have a cultural clash with anybody.
My lab, on the contrast, is very diverse. We have, like, though they are all US citizens, but it's very diverse. We have Hispanics, Latinos. We have mix of Asians and Americans. We have a big diverse culture. So everybody understands everyone. Okay, they are different. So nobody feels odd. If, like, we are having a discussion in the lab sometime, okay, how this culture is different, you get to know, okay, this is how things are done in US. Like, it doesn't come as, like, you are doing something. It just comes as an overall discussion that, okay, this is how the things are done in the US, and that's how we do it here. So, which is good, I feel like. You get to learn in an open communication, and nobody comes and say, like, this is not the way we do it, which I feel is kind of good, because when people understand you, that you are also different and you might not know the culture or you might not be doing it intentionally, this is good. Actually, that makes you feel good. Like, sometimes having a communication, open communication, resolves a lot of conflict also, I would say.
Yeah, I think there has to be a certain amount of grace maybe on both sides.
Yeah, it's like both should understand everybody is different. And so we never had this clash, but in a way that we all are open to talking culture in my lab, so we talk.
I guess that goes back to stepping outside your comfort zone like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Anything, any other burning question?
Closing remarks.
Mm-hmm. Closing remarks. Where are your cheat sheets, Adavin? You got any closing remarks on there?
No, I mean,
Sheets. I'm like surprised. Like, he literally prepared cheat sheets.
Okay,
why?
You guys don't have to call him out.
But I just wanted to.
He's an overachiever.
Okay. The plugin for international students applying. I just wanted to say one thing because I was really really afraid to go out of my comfort zone and apply anywhere outside. I was just trying to find opportunities close to me, which were not as good as the ones I have right now. So. Wherever you are in your life right now listening to this, like, you've achieved a lot of things through your hard work. So it just takes one extra step to go out and then look at all the universities, apply anywhere outside. So you're so close. Just apply. And then, like, once you cross that like phase of applying and getting into and coming to a different place and location, you'll learn a lot more things and a lot more opportunities would open up. So don't give up.
Even if you fail, don't give up. Try until you succeed, because there is a success after the hardship. So try it. You will get it. Even with the failures, you learn a lot. So try it.
And also come as single, just like Kushbu said.
Yes, exactly. know?
That should be the name of the episode.
Come as single.
Come as a bachelor. You know, you get to explore.
Come as a bachelor to get your graduate. Yeah.
If you have any questions about the genetics program or what we talked about today, please feel free to email us at bluejeansandboots@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Genetics Podcast. Thank you for listening to Blue Jeans and Boots. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, thank y'all so much. Yeah,
thank you guys.
It was a pleasure.
Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah. And then who does this microphone and everything go to? Or do we just keep it as a gift?
Who gave it to? Was it Ashley?
I got it from Serena.
If it was from Serena, it's a gift. No, I'm kidding.